Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm your soul host, Mackenzie Goodwin. You're going to hate this episode.
Soul?
And that's why I said you're going to hate the episode.
You being like, also soul as in like, we do R&B and soul music on this radio station.
Yeah, no, it's not S-O-L-E. It's S-O-U-L. Correct.
Hi.
I missed you. I was, so you were shaking your butt right outside the studio, and we are at Spotify Studios in downtown Los Angeles.
Shout out Spotify. Thanks. Thank you. That's one of Mackenzie and I's favorite things, is mouthing thank you to each other. So big.
I love to look at you from across a room and go, you were outside the studio shaking your butt, and I said, shake that healthy butt. Baby got back.
It, to me,
is it the healthy? What bothered you?
Healthy you is got, so bad.
You got pretty upset.
I got pretty upset. You in that jacket saying to me. Also, we both have shoulder pads on today.
Okay, it's
shout
a shoulder
out
pad.
Shoulder pads.
It's giving
Mariska, it's giving Diane.
It's giving Mariska Hargitay. It's giving I'm about to lady arrest you.
Hot. It's giving lady cop.
It's giving lady cop.
Lady detective.
Yeah, I'm a detective.
Who will not solve the case.
Hey. Probably.
Dude, I miss you.
I miss you too. I want to talk to you about something that just happened to me.
Is it Love is Blind related?
Absolutely not.
Tell me what happened to you.
I was on the TV series Love is Blind.
No big deal. Moving past.
No, I went to a lesbian birthday party recently, which is different than a straight girl birthday party.
In a big way.
In a big way. Because, and I'll say this, usually a birthday party by a lesbian, not a lot of fanfare.
No.
Is what I've noticed. And yeah. It could be different with generation. It could be I'm now in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays are different.
Birthdays, lesbian birthdays in your 30s are like, did you read your pages for this month?
It's actually a book club.
Yes.
I've actually got you all here because we are now in a book club.
Yeah, and it's a period piece.
Yeah.
And it's
long.
Dark.
It's long, dark, and the fingernails are dirty.
Oh!
I was at a lesbian birthday party.
Whose birthday party?
I can't say on the pod.
Tell me after class.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Dude, you know that's been my party bit.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Every I wasn't time even I'm at a party.
People ask me my name.
And you say Ellen.
And I say, it's Ellen DeGeneres.
It's Helen DeGeneres.
Common mistake. People think I'm Ellen. It's Helen. JoJo Seaweed and Helen DeGeneres. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm JoJo Seaweed.
And I'm Helen DeGeneres. Okay, no, stop. Let me finish my story.
Don't yell at me.
It's one of those
days. You
don't
days. Come up into this episode.
It's one
you
of those
come
days.
Up into this episode acting psycho. Okay. We also have an amazing guest this episode.
We have an unbelievable guest. I want you to know that our energy right now is because we just got off pod with one of the best guests ever.
It was sensual.
So we're going to get to him very soon. Mm-hmm. It's our first Japanese pop star.
Hi. Kind of a big deal at the studio today.
We've never had on, and he is literally the first ever J-pop star to ever come out of the closet. So
Hi.
This is a gigantic
Historic.
Episode. Historic. Before we get to that, I was at a lesbian birthday party. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Ellen.
She's famous.
Okay. Wait, is she?
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
All right. I'll tell you guys when she tells me.
I'm at this birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
The person didn't tell anybody. But when we got there, there was a theme. So you came prepared for the theme without knowing it.
Mm.
We get there, and the theme of the party is whoever looks the straightest has to buy all the drinks.
That's so funny.
And you better believe I owe a lot of money.
Yeah,
now
you
on
do.
My credit card.
I knew this was coming up to you. Owing a lot of money.
And it sucked.
Kenny?
I'm going to be honest, because this is what makes me mad.
For sure.
I don't give straight.
Okay.
In most spaces, I don't give straight.
Okay.
And then you put me with a bunch of dykes, and now I'm the straightest
Kenny,
one in the
I
room.
I have something to break it to you.
What?
You look at how you're sitting. You fucking Diane Sawyer looking bitch. What are you getting to the bottom of this interview?
Do you feel like Diane Sawyer gives off straight energy? Because she gives off fucking muff diver energy to me.
You cannot say Diane Sawyer gives off muff diver, dude. Is that even legal here?
Welcome to the pod.
Welcome back to muff diving. Dude, that's fucked up. Ken.
Shout out Diane Sawyer. I love you. Okay. I love your work. I love your work.
I love all the muffs you dive. Let me tell you this. in the queer community, when you know gay people, yeah. you do seem very gay. You have a gay energy to you. You have a gay jawline. Okay, but in the real world, in Elon Musk's...
I pull it back. It's a beard. I pull the curtain back. Full beard.
Dude, stop making me laugh.
It's because we're on a time crunch.
Don't
I have
stop. I know. I'm
the
scared.
Energy of somebody that literally has diarrhea. I'm like, stop. We gotta go.
Mackenzie,
we gotta go.
This episode, these
Mama's
poor
gonna
Dianes.
Blow.
These poor Dianes. They're like, Ken has been psycho these last few episodes. Wait.
Yes.
But in the real world,
yeah.
Elon Musk's straight world that we live in,
right?
You do Elon pass Musk, as straight.
I whatever.
Don't call Elon Musk also a muff diver.
He's definitely not diving in any muffs.
True, you heard
He's
it here.
He's never pleased a woman, and you can tell that by how he dances.
I know.
But I'll say that he gives poly boyfriend energy.
Cute.
If you're building a Cybertruck, it's actually giving gay energy.
Yeah, for sure. I saw one of those on my run the other day.
I saw Lady Gaga on hers the other day.
In our valley?
In our valley, on our street. And I said,
I bet we saw the same one.
Without a doubt. I don't know what she's
oh
doing
my,
near us.
What is she doing?
Gaga's getting closer to two dykes.
Driving down Moore Park?
Yeah.
Dude, we fucking saw it at the same time.
I know.
I love being your neighbor.
I same.
Okay, wait. So the theme of this party is dress as straight as possible?
No. The theme was dress as gay as possible. And you lost oh. if you looked straight.
Okay.
So the loser of it was if you looked the straightest. And it was a unanimous vote, unfortunately, for me.
Yikes. What were you wearing?
It was cute. It was cute. I looked a little femmy, but that's...
Were you trying to look gay?
No.
So you didn't even try to do the assignment?
That's what I'm saying. You didn't know until you got there.
Hysterical.
It was a secret theme.
It was a surprise theme.
Right.
Okay,
because
right.
Because then if you showed up, everyone would try to out-gay each other. It was
got
a
it.
Surprise
it was
theme.
It was the natural order.
Right. Natural pecking order.
Oh, my God. And you came up... How pissed were you?
Mad. Livid.
Yeah.
Literally was like, all of you die.
No, I know. Mackenzie's always kind of like, you can't look gay, you can't look straight, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. And then this kind of happens, huh? I do want to pitch a new party idea, though.
Yeah.
All of your dyke friends get together. Mm-hmm. Happy 33rd birthday.
Yeah.
You try to look as straight passing as possible and just kind of watch how that unfolds.
I'd love to see you try to pass as straight.
Every year for Halloween, I at least do one day where I dress as straight. Courtney, you remember when I put on fake
yes.
nails and
yeah.
I straighten my hair?
I think that it's very important to the...
That to me is being in drag.
Yeah.
Me trying to pass is like I'm in drag yeah. right now.
I love it.
I think we should try.
Let's do it this year.
Fine.
For one of our
Maybe
shows.
Maybe for my bachelorette party.
Try and
I'll make everyone
dress as straight as possible.
Maybe just make everyone switch. All my straight friends have to look like men and all of my gay friends have to look like women.
What do you want me to come as?
Me.
Okay, great. Done.
Get the mop.
So I'm coming as Carrot Top.
I'm Good. Fucking...
Good. I can do that. I have a Carrot Top wig.
You son of a bitch.
Do you have anything you'd want to talk about before we get into this amazing interview with Shin?
Speaking of Helen DeGeneres.
That was minutes ago, but yeah, let's... You know, let's circle back. You know what? Let's circle back.
Before we bring the guest out, there's something I wanted to talk to you about.
The face of my watch just came off. If you have Patreon, if you have Spotify, you can see it. We're putting it back on Helen DeGeneres.
Okay, so you know Helen.
Yeah.
And you know Portia.
Mm-hmm.
How come they never, the media.
Yeah.
How come they never gave them a couple name?
I think it's homophobic.
That they didn't.
Yeah, because you're not seeing any... lesbian couples get couple names.
Right. You're telling me you're going to push Bennifer on me?
Which is a hate crime.
Bennifer?
Dude.
But we never once got Pellen?
Pellen is unholy.
Wait, Pellen
it had
is...
to be. There's
Elsha?
Elsha?
Come on.
Porsche DeGeneres.
Portion.
Portion. Portion rocks.
Portion is great.
Portion is
so
it.
I just feel like, yet again,
yeah.
queer relationships.
Well, they're not validated.
We're not
in the
being.
Media.
We're being othered.
I know.
We're being marginalized.
I would like
you
to
can't
get...
give the whitest, blondest, richest couple in lesbian history a couple name. I'm sorry. Herstory.
Herstory. Hermstory.
Thank you.
I'm okay. You and
Thank
I.
Thank you for including me.
You and I did like a. vision board before we came into the year 2024. Mm-hmm. And we said, boy, do we want G Flip on. Then immediately got G Flip on.
Right. It's actually scaring me.
I would like to redo our vision board.
Yeah.
And have Pelin on. That's Portia and Ellen. That's my...
Pelinon sounded like a new cult.
It sounds like Peloton.
Join.
Yeah.
Pelinon?
Pelinon is the new Scientology. And it's just... our Lloyd and Savior.
Our Andrew Lloyd Webber and Savior.
Helen DeGeneres.
Helen.
We
have a great episode. Enough of whatever that was.
I'd like to formally apologize to Shin for what we just did in your intro.
Wow.
We have an amazing episode coming up. So please put your ears together for Shinjiro Ataye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so nervous.
Oh my God.
I've never done.
You've never been around lesbians before.
That's not true.
No, we all live here in LA.
I've never been on podcast, even in Japan.
Yeah.
So this is my first time podcast, wow. Especially in English.
So you're doing amazing
already.
So please
don't judge my English, you know. I'm not used to being interviewed in English yet.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. I do feel like the queer community is so forgiving in almost every aspect.
Yeah.
Unless you dress bad.
Right.
That's kind of the only thing. If you dress bad, you're out. You look amazing.
Perfect.
Thank you.
No, I dress like a clown most of the days.
Absolutely.
So you're crushing it.
So okay, thank
in
you.
The studio today, mm-hmm. we have a... pop star, mm-hmm. a Japanese pop star.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The first openly gay mm-hmm. Japanese pop star.
Hi.
And honestly, one of the hottest men I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shinjiro Ataye.
Hi, my name is Shinjiro Ataye.
Oh my God. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Seriously, this is so exciting.
Oh, we're honored. I'm like, this is so, I couldn't believe that there aren't as many out, like, yeah. Japanese pop stars.
Yeah. I mean, it's still like in Asia countries, it's kind of tough to come out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still feel it when you go back? Because you've been out now for almost a year. You're coming up
almost
on a year.
8 years, yeah, now. Every time I go back to Japan, like, I feel different.
Yeah.
Compared
yeah.
to, you know, being here. But, like, I'm kind of getting used to it. And mm-hmm. the people took it really well when I came out.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what a good feeling to have. I know when you are like contemplating or even if you know that you're queer mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm not ready to come out yet. Mm-hmm. Your brain can play tricks on you of like, this is going to be, you don't really know
yeah.
how people will take it.
Yeah.
And then to come out and be met with people being mm-hmm. so happy for you. Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
So good. I've been feeling so happy. But right after I came out, it took a little bit of time to process it. So I was a little depressed for like a couple months.
Of course. Actually.
And all my friends, my family, my staff really helped me so much.
Good.
Oh, that's so good yeah, to hear. Because you came out live
yes.
in a theater of, what, 2,000 people?
Shin, what?
I know.
Who does that?
Oh, I know who does that, right? I was like, it was honestly a very surreal experience for me.
Yeah.
Like, it was really tough. Like, right before I was about to go on stage, I had this strong desire of wanting to go home mm-hmm. and run away from what I was about to do. You know, I was just freaking nervous and, you know, I just wanted to go home.
Yeah.
I would have been shaking.
Oh.
Shaking.
Oh, like shaking as hell.
Yeah. Because do you have a predominantly female audience as well in Japan?
Yes, female friends. Also, I have male fans too.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you were coming out, mm-hmm. had you already written that song that you premiered?
Yes.
Into the Light?
Yeah.
Into the Light. So before I decided to make that song, I I was like, oh, how should I come out? You know? Mm-hmm. And I was on a 2-year hiatus, actually, as a singer.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't sing for a while. I didn't perform, you know, for a while. And because I was kind of reluctant to sing again because I didn't know what I should sing, what I should write, you know, and I was kind of lost.
Yeah.
And then, but I went to a karaoke bar with my staff and my friends.
Love.
And, you know, I didn't sing for a while, but I sang in front of them.
Oh, my God.
And then they showed me a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, you know, they told me how much they miss me being on stage. And then that's when I started to think like, oh, maybe I should sing again.
I should get back into it.
Yeah. And after I come out, maybe like I can open up, you know, to the public about my sexuality and my experiences, you know. So, and then that's when I decided to sing again.
Yeah.
This is what I've been saying. Karaoke changes lives. You know, I've always said that.
You have.
I was a karaoke DJ for like 6 years.
We met at a karaoke bar.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
We met.
Well, you guys met at a karaoke bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you guys met?
Yes.
It was a bar.
What?
Yeah. It was a bar. Rachel was a karaoke DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it happened to be a comedy night.
Yeah.
With karaoke afterwards.
Yeah.
And so when we started, Two Dykes and a Mic was an open mic, and after each one, it became karaoke.
Yeah.
So Mackenzie and I were always at a karaoke bar, and now look at us.
Wow.
Basically,
but music brings people together.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Always.
100%.
So do you think after coming out, your writing, it's been easier to write because you're a little bit more free with your writing?
So I can't. Actually, I can put all my, you know, emotions and, you know, I didn't used to do that.
Yeah.
My experiences and my emotions. I didn't put all of the things into songs.
Right.
But now I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Art is better when you're out.
Yeah.
I will say art is better.
Yes.
Art is better if you're gay, period.
Yeah.
But then it is so much better when you get to speak your truth
and
sing your truth.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, Into the Light is so good.
Oh, thank
you. We were blasting it. We love the visuals.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm loving you being in the desert.
Uh-huh.
Like, just all of it is so, it's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We're obsessed.
I think when you're able to, like, when I was closeted, it always came out in other ways.
Yeah.
In bad, I would be like, so obviously still queer when I'm trying to not be.
Yeah.
Where, like, everyone is like, why are you playing lacrosse so hard, you know what I mean? You're like, well, it's coming out in other ways.
Right.
But when you can actually be like, people, you realize within yourself you're queer. You tell the world. The world is accepting of you. And then there is like this weird freedom that happens. Like, I remember when I was out, finally, I was like, it felt like I could finally see the whole world. I was like, women are moving in slow motion. And I can just be much more, you don't have to watch yourself all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the closet and you're constantly like, everyone knows.
Right.
Or you're just clocking everything you're doing. And it's stressful.
Yeah.
Very stressful.
Did you feel that way when you were in the band? When you guys were touring and more, you know, releasing music, did you feel like they know?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Because I think I'm a good actor. I can be an actor for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I was so good at like hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From who I really was, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it. So crazy. Some people can like stealth it out. Some people can really be straight passing.
I feel like neither of us ever could.
No.
Like growing up, I was like, they know, you know.
Yeah,
always.
You were wearing basketball shorts at all times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your friends and family?
Yeah.
They knew when you guys came out?
Yeah.
You know what's weird? The people, I feel like everyone like further away from me knew, then the people closest to me did not know. Like, my parents were shocked. But, like, all of my peripheral friends were like, bitch, you're gay. I know it. But, like, the people closest to me had no idea. And I think the people closest to you are the ones that are the most
shocked,
willing to accept the, like, facade that you're doing. Because they want... My parents really wanted to believe that I was straight. So they're like, sure. Our daughter just loves golf.
Yeah. Do you think most people were shocked when you came out?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Really?
Oh yeah, everyone. So there was no rumor.
Did you like it?
Oh,
did you like that they were shocked?
I wouldn't say I liked it.
Yeah.
But...
because I think I don't like when people are like, yeah. I want you to be like, like I want the earth to tremble a little bit.
Right.
I love a coming out moment.
No, I really like when they shock, actually. When get surprised.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I like a little bit of a shock.
Right, true.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
But people were supportive when you came out, which is really exciting.
Very, like all the reception, even like a coverage, you know, was really positive.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and for to be like a Japanese pop star coming out, I think sometimes younger people, mm-hmm. sometimes forget mm-hmm. that like there is a huge importance to coming out. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people, and I understand the argument of why do I have to come out? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it does.
Yeah, it really
does. It matters to so many
people. It
really
does. Yeah. I mean, some people told me like, why did you have to come out?
Right.
But like, you know, I'm a singer. Yeah. I had to, you know, I don't want to hide.
Yeah.
If I could, I would have wanted to, you know, hide.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm...
And you shouldn't have to.
Right. Like a kind of public figure, right? Yeah. We are public figures.
Yeah.
So I couldn't hide.
Well, imagine all the young people that you have helped already by coming out.
Yeah.
And sharing your story.
Yeah.
It just bothers me. I know what you're saying when people are like, why did you have to? Yeah. Can't you just sing?
Yeah.
Why did you have to come out?
That's what people don't... Yeah.
And said. It's people don't under... Like, I hear that all the time. And people are like... Or when we started comedy, people were like, well, why do you have to talk about being gay? Can't you just do comedy? And it's like, it's who we are. You don't tell straight people, don't talk about dating or don't talk about, or don't write a love song.
It's like
every love song, every experience that you have is through the lens of a queer person.
Yeah.
So how dare anyone take that away from the things that you care about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, too much.
It is.
Yeah.
So how do you feel now living, because you've moved physically to Los Angeles.
So I've been here for like eight years. But I've been going back and forth a lot. I still have a place in Tokyo.
And that was coming to Los Angeles pivotal in your coming out? Did it help you come out?
Oh. Oh, man. Like, if I didn't move here, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, American friends, American culture really, really helped me. So I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, move to LA and then come out. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So did you, because you came here 8 years ago, did you come out right away or did it take 8 years or 7 years to come out? To the public. Or did you come out
to the public?
Yeah.
I came out to the public last year.
Last summer.
In
right.
July.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then you came out to yourself.
Oh, I mean, I kind of knew.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was gay.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Like when you're a kid.
I was born this way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You're like
Lady Gaga.
No, I know.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Lady Gaga always knew. Yeah.
Right?
You know what's funny is like when I came out here as a child, because I lived one state away. Mm-hmm. I lived in Arizona. And I remember coming out here when I was a kid and seeing two women holding hands. And that was, I was in middle school and I was like, got it. I have to move to California mm-hmm. and I have to come out as gay.
Yeah.
And it took a long time.
Wow.
It took years later, but California did help me in my journey to come out too.
Yeah.
And I already lived in the U.S.
Was it helpful to see like queer people be open?
I had the same experience.
Really?
Yeah. So
you saw two lesbians holding hands. But similar, yeah.
Yeah, similar. So when I came here to Los Angeles for the first time, mm-hmm. when I was maybe like 22 or 3, I couldn't speak English. I didn't have any friends. I just came here. I just wanted to come here by myself.
God.
You know, I took an airplane.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even have an iPhone back then.
Jesus.
You know, and there is no Uber.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I didn't have money. So I just took trains and I just, you know, I was staying in downtown LA.
Oh, God.
So I took a train.
Oh, my God.
Subway, you know, to Hollywood. And I was just, you know, walking around and then, you know, oh, this is LA, you know, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And then that's when I saw two guys kissing on the street.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, I was blown away. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I had to live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then after that, it took a while to move here. But yeah, when I moved here when I was 27.
Oh my gosh. What a journey.
What a journey, right?
Yeah. There is something so crazy when you're closeted mm-hmm. or from like a religious household or from like a different country and you mm-hmm. see people like in the street kissing and you're mm-hmm. like, is this an option?
Yeah. That's exactly what I felt.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It feels like a Christina Aguilera music video, and you're like, it's allowed here.
Yeah.
You're also very into fashion. You're a model.
I mean, no model, but I have a clothing brand.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Yeah, how'd you get into clothing?
I was always into fashion because my mom.
Oh.
So my mom is a very fashionista.
Ooh.
Yeah, when I was younger, she always would make sure I was dressed up nicely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then, yeah, that's how I got into fashion. Also, I started to dance when I was 10.
Okay.
So dancers are very fashionable.
They are.
Yeah. Right?
I will say that. I'm always trying to dress like a dancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking like joggers. I can't dance to save my life, but I'm like, I want to look like a dancer.
For sure.
Dancers are just hot.
Yeah. So hot.
They're so hot.
Yeah,
why are you laughing so hard?
Dude, you trying to look like a dancer?
I wish I could look like
a dancer. Why are you dressed like you're about to escort me to a mental health facility?
I'm not.
Dude, you look like you're going to like arrest somebody and then they're gonna say hell no.
I look maybe like I'm dressed like Mariska Hargitay from Law and Order today.
Who is that?
She's like a detective.
Detective?
Like a lady detective is kind of what I'm giving today.
I mean, I love you guys. You
Thank
know?
You so yeah. much.
No, it's you. I've stalked your TikTok for the past week and I'm like, oh, Shin. God.
You look great.
You're so hot and you dress so well. And I'm
Thank
like,
Thank you so much.
It's so, that's what I'm into.
Yeah, what fashion tips could you give our listeners?
I feel like so many masculine lesbians want to dress exactly like you.
Oh, yeah. Like kind of little baggy style?
Yes.
Kind of straight fashion?
Yes. This style right now is
maybe
like
size matters, actually.
Yeah.
Like go bigger?
Go bigger. Like
looser.
Me, like kind of looser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then makes you feel like confident. It doesn't really have to be fit, you know? Like
right.
A little kind of relaxed kind of style.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And
that's
the rings.
Yeah.
Oh, rings? Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You do look amazing today. I know all we're doing is complimenting you and telling you how hot you are.
That's what we do
actually,
here.
Actually, I don't, me, like, it's kind of weird. Cause I don't take compliments seriously. I can't take it. Maybe because of my personality.
You're just like, whatever.
I just like, no, whatever.
Yeah.
I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. But I just, oh, maybe they're just lying. They're just too nice.
We're not.
No.
We're bitches.
But isn't that crazy? Because you've been in the public eye since you were a kid, right?
Like yeah, when I was 16. So I signed with the company I used to work with when I was 14. And I first single was when I was 16.
Holy shit.
So now like I'll be, I'm 35 now.
Yeah.
I'll be 36 this year.
Oh my God.
So it's been like almost 20 years.
What is it like growing up in the public eye? Everybody watching you, everybody knowing who you are.
I think this is just normal to me because, you know, I've never had an opportunity to have another job.
Right.
So I don't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
So this is just my life, you know?
Yeah.
So just tell me.
We were talking earlier. Yeah. It's like he doesn't have a computer.
Yeah.
I don't have a computer.
Because how do you write music?
I was like,
how do you do music?
Always like iPhone and yeah. And
oh
with, I always work with producers.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
To not
Shin
have
Shin and I both being like, we don't know how to send emails very well.
No.
Well, you really don't know how
no,
to send
I hate
emails.
I hate emails.
Same.
Why don't people use just through text?
Like just text me.
True.
Just text me.
Just
True.
Text me.
That's easier.
Okay, wait. I have a question because I love to ask this.
Yeah.
If you weren't a singer, if you weren't an artist, a model, nothing in fashion, what do you think your other job would have been? What do you think you'd be good at that's not in entertainment?
Good at?
Yeah.
I mean, no good at, but like
or
I
like
just
that you
wanted
would want.
To be a, I don't know, pilot. And I just went in trouble, you know.
That's hot.
That's very sexy.
All
yeah.
of the world.
Pilots are hot. Like,
yeah.
that's
right?
a
Pilots
hot job.
Hot.
Yeah. And the perks, the miles.
Miles, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, that,
I think that's how it
not
works.
How
don't
it
you
works.
Get, like, a bunch of free miles?
No.
I mean, you don't get miles. You don't get points.
I thought you got all the points.
No.
But you can maybe, like, a fly. Like
you
a
get, like, free stuff.
Okay, you take the plane home, you park it in your garage. You
that
take
would
the
be
plane.
Ideal, but...
Dude, you're dumb.
Oh my God, no. That's like, whatever. That's a fun job. I like pilot.
Yeah.
But
That's
I didn't hot. Study, you know, I didn't study much when I was younger. So maybe I'm not, I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah. But I think you would have been good at it.
Yeah.
It's confidence. It takes confidence
And a good head of hair.
And here's what I want.
Yeah.
I want an all queer airline.
That's Southwest, honey. Honey, that is Southwest Airlines.
Oh, like a rainbow.
Yeah, a rainbow flag on the plane.
Yeah, on the plane.
Every stewardess, they're already queer, obviously. Yeah. But I want pilots.
Flight attendants are gay.
Yes.
Oh.
They mostly.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think that is Southwest. If I'm being honest, Southwest gives gay energy.
Gay airlines.
It's red, orange, blue. Close enough.
Close enough.
And they're kind of, yeah. They're always doing jokes. They're always kind of like...
They're always singing on, on the fucking thing. Yeah.
But you're too good for Southwest.
Anyways, I'm so good that you, like, came... You figured out who you are, and then you were brave enough to tell people who you are in the type of position that you are in the world. I, like, think that more people in the industry that are this public need to be coming out, and I'm, like, so glad that you did. You've changed people's lives, and that's, like, fucking major.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know. I have one more question before we wrap up. Because what you were just saying, to piggyback on, like...
Do not piggyback me.
Well, we need...
You bitch.
Hey, we need more people to do what you did.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, because we've gotten it, too. Did anybody, when you were on the precipice of coming out, when you were about to come out, did anybody say, don't do this?
All my staff were like, you know, everyone... knows me really well, and I'm very like kind of always I'm very straightforward.
Yeah.
Even like I'm before I moved here, I was always like kind of like Americanized.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not typical shy, like you know, very reserved Japanese guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So nobody told me like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Because they already knew I was going to do that no matter what.
They were like, don't tell Shin not to, because then it'll make him
do
it.
Yeah. But some of them told me, oh, I don't know if I can help you because, you know, you are doing this, you know, because of your ego. And I'm like, what?
Huh? Interesting.
I'm like, I was just like, okay, all right. So I don't need your help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
So...
So you did face a little bit of friction.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Because we even like, and we are not Japanese pop stars.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Never say never.
I can do it.
Oh, you can sing.
I can sing now.
You can sing really well.
Thank you. Karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke. Yeah.
But we had some people that like, I remember when we first started, somebody was like, don't come out as being a lesbian. They were like, come out as being bi. So there was still maybe... Because there's still, you get both sides. So men can still feel like they have that as an option.
That option. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
people are insane in the industry.
In the industry. So that's why I was interested if you had more of a pushback, especially in Japan, where it's not as openly accessible as it is here or accepted.
I mean, being gay is not frowned upon in Japan, but they just ignore it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, so that's why, like, what I did was really, like, kind of blown them away.
Mm-hmm. Not just be gay and keep that to yourself is so different culturally to come out and to be, to be proud of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like a ton of cultures that it's like, you can be whatever you want to be over there. You don't do that on TV. You don't tell us about it. And you live kind of separate lives. Mm-hmm. And it lets people be like complacently like, well, I'm not homophobic. I'm not saying don't be gay. I'm just saying.
Don't do it around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what you did, is like so much more.
It's so
brave. Incredible. Yeah, honestly, that's the way to fucking do it.
We're so honored to have you on here.
Oh, do you have any advice for people that are still closeted or anything else you want to say to the listeners of this podcast while we have you here?
I mean, everyone doesn't have to be come out, you know, but it's really important to have a community, you know, or people you can fall back to, you know?
Yeah.
Like just have people, like, you know, people you can trust or you love.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely.
And then maybe it's going to take a while to come out, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So first thing is just, like, finding people who you can trust.
Yeah, definitely. Having good people around you. Because things aren't always easy, but those people will help you around.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Well,
it has been an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
Oh my God, you're amazing.
Where can people?
Was it okay? I don't know. My English is.
Your English is perfect.
A lot of like grammar mistakes. I realized that.
No, you did not.
No, you did not. You're literally good. This is great.
Where can people find you? Where can they listen to you?
Oh, like Instagram. Instagram. Please follow me.
Yes. Yeah. Follow Shin, everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
We'll put your handle.
Shinjiro Atai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shinjo Atai. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was amazing.
So
thanks for being here.
I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
I'm Rachel Scanlon.
Shinjo Atai.
Go do something gay today.
Bye-bye. Wow. What?
Obsessed with Shin.
I know. We had so much fun with him.
He's so sweet. Wow. Also, apologies on the psycho intro.
Here's the thing. Apologies because that intro was steamy, piping, scary, horny.
It was wild. It was all over the place. The energy was... a lot.
When I have a time crunch in any type of scenario, you're going to get a little, it's going to get
it's chaos.
It's going to get chaotic.
But
now we are going to have an even steamier outro because you better believe we are reviewing Love Lies Bleeding.
Yes. I'm so glad we get to do this. Kenny and I saw this film together.
Together in the valley in Burbank.
Like noon.
Yeah. It was a mid-afternoon. I was like, great. Can't wait to... do a little bit of work and then go get horny with my BFF.
As we always do.
In Burbank, California.
Need I remind you disobedience?
You don't need to remind me about anything. I wake up and I think about that afternoon 10 a.m. movie, matinee with my BFF.
Horny movies as a matinee with your BFF. People are not doing it enough.
Here's the thing. I don't want to be 9 p.m., 10 p.m. riled up.
I'm tired. No. I want to get horny at a matinee and then take it home where it belongs.
Exactly. Back to work. Back to the studio.
Yeah.
So we are just getting off seeing Love Lies Bleeding together.
I'm still riding that high.
And a high it was, honey.
It was. That movie is in it's every I feel like some every once in a while I'll be like, have you guys been stealing my thoughts? You know what I mean? When it opens on like It was such a gym. Okay, not the very first opening scene.
And also, I do want to say that we are going to spoil the shit out of this movie. We're going to talk about everything. So if you have not seen it, end the pod here.
Well,
end the pod here. Go leave us a review, end the pod
If you're that type of person, I just want to say, like, bye. I hope you have a killer day.
Hope you have a killer day, but come back when you've seen it.
Do something gay today.
Yeah.
Bye.
No, but come back because this movie is so fun and we have a lot to say about it.
We do. This film,
it's
I knew it was going to be a wild ride. I know that we've been talking about it for a while, we being the queer community, Hollywood. Everyone's been a flurry. Everyone's like, it's such a big year for queer movies. You have Bottoms. You have Drive Away Dolls. You've got Love Lies Bleeding. And I'm like, here, consuming all of it. I still wasn't ready for what Love Lies Bleeding was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it really was... it was balls to the walls because, like, the movie was more of, like, a horror thriller than I thought it was going to be. But it also was, like, insanely vibey.
It's unbelievably vibey. I mean, we come in, it's set in the 80s. It's set in New Mexico. So it's, like, desert, 80s, gym.
Synth.
Yes. We're getting a lot of synth. We're getting a lot of, like, leotards.
Mm-hmm.
Curly hair. I'm loving it.
The perm.
Love that the 80s was just curly hair season.
Yeah, it was Perm City, USA, /New Mexico.
/Flashdance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Flashdance, Jennifer Beals. You're right back to Bet City, USA for president. Wow.
There we go. I want to read a synopsis.
Yeah, of the film.
Of the film. I want you to know when I opened up my browser, I was Googling Angela Bassett. Sorry,
that's the real. Wait.
Yeah.
Before you read that, Mackenzie, my coworker, is going to read a synopsis. I want you to know that I have pulled up the cast list.
Mm-hmm.
If you would look at the picture they used for Kristen Stewart, and I just want to hear your reaction.
Okay. I'm so scared. Why? Why? It's as if they were like, Kristen, but Femi.
I'm going to send this over to Leah.
That's very funny.
That's insane.
Is that IMDb?
The first thing you click on.
Okay, so.
That can't be right. It's not even Bella.
It doesn't look like that was ever Kristen.
No, that looks like an impersonator.
Yeah. Okay, so we have Love Lies Bleeding. It does say thriller romance.
Okay, that's me.
I would say horror comedy.
Lesbian nightmare.
Yeah. Okay, Lou.
played by Kristen Stewart, mm-hmm. is a reclusive gym manager who falls hard for Jackie, an ambitious bodybuilder who's heading to Las Vegas to pursue her dream.
Yeah.
Their love soon leads to violence as they get pulled deep into the world of Lou's criminal family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about right. That first half of that description is where I'm like, you went in my brain. You stole my thoughts.
Everything, yeah.
Because all I want to see mm-hmm. is a reclusive, cigarette-smoking Kristen Stewart owning a gym, falling in love with a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Them doing pull-ups together.
Them training for the bodybuilding competition was some of the sexiest scenes I've ever seen.
The first half of this movie was, like, absolutely so exquisite, so fun,
agreed.
So vibey.
Agreed.
Like,
it's similar to the first half of Saltburn, where you're like, oh, we're having fun.
Oh, we're here.
We're in a world. Like, she's setting up, Rose is setting up a
world. Yeah. I was having the best time. I'm also just like, Katie O'Brien, who plays
Jackie. Which I do think that, our phones just touched.
Our phones, you just sent me your contact.
Sorry about that. Hey.
Jackie in this
body.
Film. Okay, can
Sorry.
We just talk about Jackie's... The body in this movie goes crazy. Yes, she is steroids a third main character? Sure.
Steroids is, I would say, the second main character.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's crazy. They do so much juice.
Yeah.
It's like a huge plot point of the movie is like Kristen is juicing up Katie O'Brien.
Yeah.
And it is like... Her body gets, because she's already jacked, and I'm just like, what? Like, when she was doing push-ups on the side of the road, I was like, go, 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 go.
Under a freeway.
Under, like, a bypass, yeah.
I mean, it was some of the hottest.
Yes.
Just her walking around, when she was getting that job at the gun range, walking around, I was like, that body is insane.
I liked it because, like, you know how when we were younger, everything that was lesbianic was really for men. Mm-hmm. Like, you would see a lot of, like, high femmes.
Yeah.
Everyone's, like, there's, like, a brunette and there's a blonde one. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, kind of, like, kissy-kissy. You know what I mean? But it's really, like...
Well, it's glancecity.org/cliff.
Yeah. Yes.
/dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, like, you know, like... kind of porny and whatever, like
for
like
gaze.
Matt Dillon or whatever. Yeah. And the like sexiness, like queer hot is different than like straight hot.
Yes.
Like queer hot, you're going to see a masculine woman. You're going to see a strong, defined athletic person who has goals.
Yes.
Like what was super hot about Jackie was that she's like, this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
And we go, let me get you there, babe. Mm-hmm. Let me make you in a yolkless omelet every day and lay down everything that I have so that you can get your goals. I'm like, that's really what was, I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
When she was like, she was waiting tables at the gun range and she's walking around in like what I think it was like a bikini, like a strap.
Yeah, it was
not
like
a bikini.
A stringy.
Like a string.
Tank toppy.
Tank top.
Crop.
Tiny, tiny.
Piece of cloth.
Carrying around a tray.
Ooh.
I was like, just the chest.
Oh my God. Her chest
is like jacked.
Yeah.
Her body is unreal in this film. I feel like that was one of my favorite parts of the movie is, I know that's crazy, but seeing her go from this like transient, trying to find her way in this town to then getting what she wants where she's in the gym.
Yeah.
She's hitting the gym. She's finding her way. She's getting to her goal of being a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And it is so much fun to watch her train and watch her get deep into it.
I'm all had a girlfriend obsessed. Training for some physical goal.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're all there kind of making protein shakes for our angels.
Yeah. I have a question. What did you think about when she was like, hey, next time take the yolks out?
Okay, that I was like, whoa. But I think what it captured, because I was off put.
I was off put. Don't tell her what to do.
You're in her house.
You just stayed one night and then asked to live there.
Right.
She's making you breakfast. Eggs are not cheap. All right. They might have been in the 80s.
Maybe in the 80s. It was a big time for eggs. But I feel like I thought what I liked that it did at that point was showing this thing that I think we've all felt, which is like, I'm the dyke in this city when there actually is another queer person here who we connect and we like each other. that, like, yeah, you're going to kind of move in quick. I'm like, this is classic U-Hauling.
It was faster classic. Than U-Hauling.
It was quite, yes. It was like extreme U-Hauling.
Yeah. It was
on
crazy.
HGTV.
It was hosted extreme by move over.
Me. Yeah. What did you think?
What did I think? I mean, I, like we said, the first half of this movie is so vibey, so fun.
Yeah.
Then you get Bugman, and that is Kristen Stewart's dad.
Can I say something about Ed Harris?
Yeah. Are we going to talk about the skullet?
Let's talk about the skullet. Let's talk about all the mullets, because we also have Dave Franco.
Yeah.
Playing a piece of shit, which I feel like Hollywood's been doing this thing lately where they're like, they'll take a piece of shit and they'll be like, let's cast him as a, you guessed it, piece of shit.
When I saw his name on the title, I was like,
they're like, no, we're good, right? We're good.
What?
They're like, let's put Johnny Depp in there.
I was like, the casting was weird for him, but then he did play
he did great, an
asshole. Yeah, yeah. A piece of shit.
And it was like, this whole movie is very Thelma and Louise on like cocaine.
It's Thelma and Louise
on steroids. Juiced up. Yeah. Which is really fun. Like, I think what we were missing from Thelma and Louise was
more beef.
Graphic.
Yeah.
Boning.
Yeah.
Which I think we got a few times. Honestly, I could have used
more
cunnilingling.
Okay. Hate that.
Okay. More. What would you like me to say?
Muff diving.
Ooh! I could have used more.
I agree.
Wait, what do you... Look, can we talk about the sex scenes?
Okay, we're all over the place.
Right.
I need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about the mullets first, because
Mullets first.
I was on board when we saw the skullet. I was like, you know what?
What an incredible thing to hear.
Right. One skullet to me is appropriate for this movie.
Right.
But then they threw in a second mullet, mm-hmm. and that's when I said...
Too many mullets.
It's too many.
Because Kristen Stewart had a long mullet as well.
But I'm talking on men.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Men specifically. You can't have every man in the movie have a mullet or a skullet.
Here's... And if I can just take a quick detour.
Yeah.
Cis men in mullets scares me.
100%.
Any type of other type of person in a mullet makes me soothed. I go, I'm safe here.
Yeah.
If I see a bunch of mullets running around, like we're at a show.
A queer person.
I see queer mullets, I go, we're home.
Queer mullets feel right.
If I see like a blonde man with huge running sunglasses that are reflective, like Oakley's, with a mullet, yeah. I go, now we've actually crossed the line. It is like the weird Venn diagram between like bigots and the queer community. It's like, careful with that mullet.
Yeah.
When I saw Ed Helms' skullet, we're like, yes. Then Dave Franco, we've gone too far.
We've gone too far. I think there were too many mullet skullets in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, as a villain, he's
killer.
Amazing.
He's not incredible?
He was incredible.
I was like kind of blown away because he's horrifying.
He's very scary.
He's super scary. And I loved that they had him do that bug thing.
Because when you give a man a bug or a reptile in a movie, you know he's going to be the worst character alive.
Yes. They had him being like so villainy, and he did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the skullet makes sense. He's eating his bugs, making sense.
Yeah.
Like, his voice terrified me.
He's horrifying.
He was awesome. What do you think about that straight girl? Or sorry, the girl with the teeth.
So there is a blonde girl who comes in pretty early on. And you and I, when we got in the car, we discussed... I thought she was a queer person. She was a queer character. You called her straight.
Right.
And I want to get into that.
And I don't
know
who's right.
I believe she's queer because from the opening scene, we open on Kristen Stewart unclogging a toilet. Yum. And then after she unclogs it, there's somebody in the bathroom with her, and it's this blonde girl who wants to go out and hook up with her. She's mm-hmm. like, I want to go out with you tonight.
Yeah.
And Kristen's like, I'm not really feeling it. So to me, that opening scene, we've only ever seen her go after a woman.
Yeah.
So there was nothing to me that showed that she was not a queer person.
I thought because it was in the bathroom, it was hidden. So when I saw her like kissing on Kristen Stewart and Kristen being like, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I thought she was like, they're hiding here. And like, it wasn't I didn't think she was queer.
But then she was asking her out to a public space. Yeah. I have a question for you. If this person had a mullet, would you have been like, that's a straight person? Or because she had long blonde hair.
I don't know, the
hair.
80. I think of the 80s. I think because it was the 80s, the mullet, I still probably would have thought she was straight. But I thought...
Because she was asking her out in a bathroom?
I think I just thought, like, she... I thought that in this town,
mm-hmm.
Kristen Stewart was the only, like, out queer person.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of knew it.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that, like, her dad
owned the gun shop. Mm-hmm. And she was like the dyke of the town. Mm-hmm. And when she first meets Jackie,
yeah,
she's asking her like, are you just some straight girl just mm-hmm. trying to? And I thought she was referencing the blonde girl. Like, I thought she was saying, because she didn't like her from the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought, like, it didn't seem to me like they had a relationship and it wasn't like they had a weird breakup. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that she was like, this isn't, like, this is silly to you and this is real to me.
Yeah.
That's how I read it. But I mean, I could very much be like, I want misreading
people to sound
it.
Off in the comments and let us know. Because I'm like, that person never was with a man.
Yeah.
And never said she was straight, ever. Whereas you had Jackie, the first time we meet Jackie, she's fucking a guy.
Yeah.
So it's, why would you think that Jackie's not a straight person versus this other woman?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought for some reason that she, do we know the blonde girl's name? I don't even remember. But with the one who was obsessed with Kristen the whole time.
She's upset. She's like, I'm in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's Daisy.
Daisy. Yeah. I thought Daisy, like, I remember being like, oh, the reason why Kristen Stewart isn't interested in her mm-hmm. is because this is like a silly game to her.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But when I hear you talk about it, I'm like, oh, right. Like, they never said she was straight or anything.
She's so into her.
She's really into her.
I mean, she's like, I'm going to ruin everything. I want to be
with you. Which makes the ending so sad.
The ending is unbelievable. Like, let's get into the sex scenes first.
Also, I would like to know what you guys think. If you thought that Daisy was like the annoying straight girl character, or mm-hmm. if she was just like a queer girl who was in love with Kristen and Kristen just never liked her back.
Yeah.
Because then why have that? Like, I don't know. So she's just a villain? Is that where we're at?
I mean, that's what you and I took away at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get into the sex scenes, because everybody has been DMing us.
About the sex scenes?
Guests on the pod have reached out to us to be like, y'all saw Love Lies Bleeding.
Okay, I will say something, Kenny. Let me just get at me, if I may.
Yeah.
The second sex scene did work for me.
What is the second sex scene? Would you remind me?
The listeners. Where... Well, the first, I liked, okay.
Technically, the first sex scene is Dave Franco and
that one I'm taking out of the picture. Katie. That one I hated.
That one I loved. I'm kidding. I'm obviously kidding.
I really liked, if you remember in the gym, mm-hmm. when Jackie and, what's Kristen? Kristen. I can't believe this picture of her is truly so fucked up. When they, that first night that they meet each other, Lou. Mm-hmm. And they're in the gym,
yeah.
And they bond, and they both realize that they're queer, they have this attraction, mm-hmm. and they're vibing, and they kiss.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God. Like, I really liked that.
It was very sweet.
It was so sweet, and it felt like so queer to me, and mm-hmm. it felt like, I was just like, oh God, like this rocks. Like, yeah. I feel so very much like, I know all those feelings that you get to have there. When they were having sex, where Kristen is kind of like...
Are you talking about in the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about... Well, and I'll say I had a lot of fun with the... Do you know they had like a hookup montage mm-hmm. where she's drinking protein milk and it comes down her ripped chest.
Can I be
honest?
And
then Lou licks it up.
Loved it.
Loved it.
I loved the montage of them like working out and hooking up.
Yes. Working out, hooking up.
Rocks
over and over again until infinity.
Yeah,
that shit. I was like, "This is we're having fun."
It was so much fun,
and it was for
and it was
us.
Shot beautifully.
Like nobody ever shows like physically jacked women being so fuckable,
dude. I was obsessed with that part of the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I thought like Katie was immaculate.
She was
in this
so
movie.
Good.
She
yeah.
was so fucking good.
It was really fun, and I was like, "We're having fun. We're yeah. doing a vibe. Like we're in it here." Yeah. And it was so gay. And then that sex scene. Where she basically is like, show me how you touch yourself.
Yeah.
And then she's just fucking watching her. And then they fuck in the bathroom. I was like, this rocks.
Okay, so and this is where we divert.
Yeah.
So first off, here's my thing. When I'm starting my nighttime routine, you better not be coming up behind me and asking me to show you how I touch myself.
Okay.
I gotta take my makeup off. I gotta take my lashes off. I don't have lashes.
My lashes.
I like to
I do
me,
think
I'm
she
like,
said, show me how you fuck yourself, which was even cooler.
Whatever it was.
Whatever
I'm mid flossing. I'm not I got to do my routine. Once I start a routine, I'm not stopping for this.
I famously have fucked with my retainer on.
I know,
so like,
you have.
I'll stop at any point of the nighttime routine for my baby.
Here's the thing. My bathroom lighting, also horrific.
Right.
My bathroom lighting is like this studio.
How many bathroom scenes did we get?
A ton. We got a lot of bathroom
scenes.
That's
how you know it's cake.
But the bathroom was like dingy lighting.
Yeah.
So it was like lit very well for what it was, mm-hmm. but it felt too clinical to me.
What do you think about, oh, okay.
I didn't like Kristen getting on her knees and kind of just like watching. Like,
yeah.
Because it was like more of like inquisitive. Like,
yeah.
How do you? It felt like she didn't know how to do it.
Interesting. She was like, no, show me. Gets out a pen.
She
gets
like,
out her iPad with the stylus from her iPad. She's drawing a labia. She.
It did feel like. Wait, how do you? No, show me.
Show me. I know how, but if you show me, then we'll all know. That's so funny. I really liked the like dirty talking that she was doing. The tone of the scene was a little stressful because like, okay. I felt like she was mad and I didn't like the context.
Yes.
If you can take out the context, which is hard, but you know what I would have replaced all that fingering with?
Yeah.
Fucking going down on her.
I agree.
Like way more graphically. Like I would want to see like spit and wetness where, yeah. I feel like, you know, people kind of shy away from. I know you can't see all beef, although
we've been
please.
Begging. We've been
begging for beaver.
Begging for beef.
We're begging
new
for beef.
Special. Sure. Wait, the next two dicks in a mic tour. Begging for beaver?
Done.
Done. Somebody calls him up.
God. But like, I, like, that's what I, because the whole movie is so, it's dirty, it's sweaty, it's, you're
right.
In the Southwest.
Can I be honest? I felt like Rose, the director, Rose Glass, leaned in so much more into the gore,
yeah.
Death, murder. What we saw, yeah. When,
it was gory.
When Jackie murders the brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It was so unbelievably gory of what you see, but then when it came to the sex scenes,
you
she kind of shied away from actually showing stuff.
And I wonder if she did that to be like, this isn't like those other lesbian films that you've seen in the past directed by men,
yeah.
That show you two girls kissing a violin and then something fucking insane out of left field.
Yeah.
Like maybe she was pulling back specifically to be like, this is more...
But to me, that is so American to show graphic violence, mm. And then shy away from sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And I very much dislike that.
I would have loved to switch it because
absolutely.
I didn't need to see I didn't need to see all the gory, like, violent stuff.
I
because,
don't want
like,
to see a jaw falling off.
I don't
want
to. That was really hard to watch.
Fucking gross.
Yeah.
Show me Kristen Stewart eating somebody out,
yeah.
Over that jaw coming,
yeah.
Off.
Yeah, agree. Fully agreed. I could have gone for more, like, if we're going to go there, I'm like, let me see.
Yeah.
Beaver. Let me see.
Even
beef.
If it's not that, I was like, I think that those sex scenes or the intimate scenes could have been longer and more intimate.
Yeah, me too.
Because they loved each other. They were really falling for each
That's
other.
That's what the thing too is, like, the whole movie really is like a nightmare love story,
mm-hmm.
Where these two people love each other so much that they've absolutely ruined their whole lives.
For it, yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I was watching the movie and I was like, wow, this is like what my boomer dad thought being gay would do to your life.
Yeah.
It ruins your life. It's a slippery slope. You end up in jail. You murder somebody and then you're in a ditch or whatever.
You
and I was
2 to 3 people.
Oh, also, by the time sometimes when movies kill that many people, same thing with like Killers of a Flower Moon, by the second one, I'm like, I'm actually like overwhelmed by how much death is happening.
Well, then the stakes are
because
what,
then,
what
yeah.
is a life in this movie?
But I really loved how like the cast really felt like 6 people total.
Yeah.
And it really felt like we were in such a web of like this family,
mm-hmm.
And like this town felt so like, you know right where you are,
yeah.
And you mix in the queerness, you have the bodybuilding vibe, and I'm like, we're in such a fun, like, place here. A fun, horrific
yeah.
place.
What did you think of when Jackie barfs out Lou?
Okay, so this is such an interesting point that you brought up. That's the point of the movie where I go,
where are we?
Where are we? Who are we?
Yeah.
What? On Earth.
So it takes a insane turn.
It takes a crazy turn.
And I think it's we're finally getting caught up with all of the steroids that Jackie's taking,
mm-hmm.
Which I think the theme of this movie is...
Don't take drugs.
Steroids bad.
Don't take drugs bad. I also, for a second, mm-hmm. Was like, are we going to go full like Fight Club here where they're like one person? Like, for a brief second, I was like, how crazy are we going
to
go?
How crazy is, to me it was, because then we almost went into Twilight. I was like, is this a werewolf?
Wait.
She turned full werewolf at the end.
Wait, Ken, she went Gigantor.
Wait, what does she say? What is that one line?
She said, wow.
What is the one line in Twilight where she's like, no.
Jacob, no. I mean, spoiler alerts, obviously. Mm-hmm. At the very end of the movie, out of nowhere. First, we have the barf. We have Jackie barfing up.
Lou.
And we're like, holy shit.
I don't know. Hallucination on stage?
A fever dream from drug-induced type of psychosis, mm-hmm. which she's in for almost all of the movie.
Yeah.
And at the very end, Jackie comes to save Lou. Mm-hmm. But we turn around and we see that Jackie is 100 feet tall.
It's giving Ant-Man. It's giving...
Jolly Green Giant. Yeah. You know.
David and Goliath.
And Jackie's already massive, but I'm telling you guys, like, she was massive.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the funniest part of the movie, because there were some funny lines, was that when Kristen Stewart looks over at gigantic Jackie and Lou goes, wow.
Wow. That was crazy.
What did you think about the Gigantor-ness?
Okay. I was like, at this point, we're going full, like...
camp.
It got campy at the end. Where I was like, okay, so this is not... nothing here is grounded in reality. Jackie's 100 feet tall.
Yeah.
And she's in the clouds. She's picking up the dad and just kind of like holding him down. I was having fun. I was having a lot of fun.
I was having fun, too, because that's my dream, by the way, to have a gigantic, muscular woman just holding me by my limbs.
Yeah, it is actually your dream.
Yeah.
I loved the ending.
You know?
I thought it was so much fun. Yeah. Like, I was like, this is a wild ride. Once you know what you're getting into, I was like, this rocks. Yeah. I was having so much fun. And then, they're in the clouds. They're kind of just like...
they're kind of walking through the clouds together. I'm like, we're having fun.
It was so much fun. Then this is
Falcor! I was like, this is wild. This is like a never-ending story.
Yeah.
On steroids, gay.
This is where it lost me.
Uh-huh.
And this is the only, like, I would say the major thing I did not like in this movie mm-hmm. is they get away. They're leaving town. We're in a beautiful desert escape. Mm-hmm. We're in the car. And Jackie's asleep. Lou's driving. The body of Daisy's in the back.
Yeah.
And the body wakes up. So they had to kill. They killed Daisy. The body starts moving. Lou pulls over, gets out, looks at the body. She's awake. She's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she strangles her to death.
I really hated that.
And drags her body out into the desert. And I really disliked ending on a queer woman killing a queer woman.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. I thought there was no point to see that.
That's what kind of confused me. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Because I think, like, Lou had this whole thing of, like, I'm not like you, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm not my dad. And I wonder if the movie was trying to be like, you are.
Yeah.
Like, there is no difference. How many people have you killed put in my same crater?
But did we need to see a woman choking a woman to death?
No,
like,
no.
I didn't want to see that. It could have been anything else or, you know, you could have... I don't love seeing violence on women, period, obviously. But it was very, like, viscerally...
It was super dark.
Yeah, really dark to end on that.
The ending was a lot. I wish it really would have ended as them gigantic in the sky.
Agreed.
And I bet there's a version where it could have.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why they felt the need to...
show her, like, murdering one last person.
It was tough to see.
Especially because she came back to life.
Well, the tones of the movie really were, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, really graphic murders and then, like, a silly little joke in the middle.
Yeah.
Or you'll have, like...
Horny sex.
Horny sex. Cute. Also, like, cute love story. Yeah. These people are in love. But also, like, Jackie never gets her dreams made.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of juxtaposed.
Juxtaposed is correct.
God, it's so hard to do movie reviews when you're not that smart.
And, just both of us are ding-dongs.
Just ding-dongs. Two ding-dongs. But, like, I think the whole movie, I was like... I felt like edged in emotionally in all of the directions that they wanted me to feel.
Yeah.
Whenever I was like, I'm about to feel so fucking sad and grief, they'd put a little joke. And then when I wanted to laugh and be happier, then somebody else would get murdered. But when I was like horny, then you get like these really weird delusions. And like, so I think maybe if that was what it was trying to do, it did it very well.
Yeah. They showed a lot of violence against women,
yeah.
which I hated. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is that I have to go as Ed Harris for Halloween this year.
You have to take off your wig. Because I know under that wig is your skullet.
It's a skullet. What's crazy is I do look like him.
That's insane. That's insane. I feel like it's fun to... I wish it was a little bit more fun, but I really liked this movie.
Yeah, me too.
And I think like we're in a really fun place for...
Queer film. How many gloves would you give it?
Out of five?
Yeah.
I'd give it four. Four gloves.
I agree. I think 4.3.
Oof.
It was so vibey and so much fun.
Yeah. Just, you know, be careful. It's graphic, but like enjoy it.
It's so graphic. I can't get Dave Franco's body out of my head. Ugh. And I covered my eyes for a lot of that.
Me too.
We're too sensitive.
We're cancers.
I know. Anyways, go see Love Lies Bleeding.
Go see Love Lies. Let us know what you guys think. We'd love to know. Yeah. And thanks for listening to this episode. Thank you for our guests for being on Shin. Thanks for bearing through that beginning, which was bananas.
Oh my God.
What?
I don't think I ever hit record on video.
Go to something gay today.
Bye-bye.